you know what day it is?
Please tell me.
Please tell me.
Today's Wednesday.
What you gonna do?
Wednesday.
What you gonna do?
Wednesday.
Oh, really, what would you call it?
You really don't know.
You really don't know.
Hump day?
It's showtime, baby.
In the early part of the previous century, Germany decided to go to war. And who did they go to war with? The world. And so you figure that would take about 5 seconds for the world to win, but no, it was actually close. Then about 30 years pass, and Germany decides again to go to war, and again it chooses as its enemy the world. But you'd think at that point the world would go, listen, Germany, here's the deal. You don't get to be a country no more on account of you keep attacking the world.
TSN 1200.
Oh, man, just living through all those iconic Norm MacDonald bits, comedy bits yesterday after his untimely passing. And I got to say, that is one of my favorites. Somebody else has texted in. In fact, Jeff writes, good morning, fellas. Sad news about Norm MacDonald. Saw him early on at the Beacon Arms, or as we called it back in the day, the Broken Arms. Yuck, yucks. Favorite bit was when he was on The Daily Show talking about Steve Irwin, the Croc Hunter. That was priceless. That comes from Jeff. So we're going to find that one because that's... it was... You know, Norm MacDonald specialized in dark humor.
Yeah,
it wasn't
for
everybody.
Yeah.
He did a piece on the Croc Hunter about 10 days after the Croc Hunter died.
Okay.
Which, well, I can't do it any justice by doing it.
Okay.
So we'll find
that
and play it because, that's an all-timer as well. I'm getting the sense, because we've talked a little bit about Norm MacDonald, Simmer, that were you A, not a fan, or B, just not really that familiar with his stuff?
Not familiar, JR, because I felt like, and again, I moved to the United States in 1989-90. I know the name and certainly very familiar with some of the takes and stuff like that, but I didn't know when he passed away yesterday, JR, that he was even Canadian. So yeah, just kind of sitting back, and when you replay some of the clips there, especially the Saturday Night Live stuff, and I remember him being very good on the news part, but I don't remember a lot more than that. And I think also watched probably the Bob Saget, who is the least funny person on the planet. I think they did a celebrity roast that he hosted, which was very funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bob Saget, not good. He took a good hard run. Norm MacDonald did at Carrot Top at one point.
Yeah,
he was
never
afraid to kind of, we'll say,
make people feel uncomfortable.
But also, like, if he felt somebody else wasn't very funny,
he would basically
say, I'm not going to go on your show because it's not very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I'd like to think the way that he helped out Mr. Green, I hope when he moved out there that Rich Little had him over to his house and he kind of continued the Ottawa thing. Am I following that right, JR? Is that our trio of Canadian or Ottawa comedians?
Yeah, Rich Little may predate.
I know
Norm
that.
MacDonald.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. But it goes one to the other, and some interesting local talent.
Yeah. Don't. You don't need to get me started on Tom Green.
Oh, okay.
Tom Green.
Oh, you don't want to tell some good old stories from your days at the Robert?
No.
Man, he was a top-notch guest.
No, he wasn't. No, he was.
He was a little wacky.
Yeah.
No.
But
he couldn't read the room.
Was he trying too hard at the time?
Yep.
Yeah.
He was there just for himself. Nobody else. Did not care.
There's a lot of people I have a lot of time for. There's a lot of people that, you know what, I understand. You got, it's CTC, cash them checks.
You got something to sell.
You got something to sell. I understand. Yeah. That's all part of what we do when we have people on sometimes.
I'm sure he's matured since then, though.
He came on when Hammer and I were doing a show on the Robert. Yeah. And I could.
Was he just on the horn or was he in studio?
No, he was in studio. And basically, it's the only time I think I've ever had to basically say we're going to break because you're being a you-know-what right now.
Oh, okay,
You're going to be leaving now.
Yeah. You know what was even better than when Tom Green was in studio? It was after the show when we were all in the boss's office afterwards and JR's little chat with the boss of, we don't want that little blank, 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 blank ever on this show again. Yeah. I will never do blank, blank like that again.
Is he a tiny man?
Nope.
No, he's tall.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I'd use the word little.
Drew Barrymore?
No.
married a little bit.
Well, yeah, what was that, a couple of months?
Yeah, a couple months. And also celebrity, because we were actually talking about him with my buddies Mark and Nicole out in Greeley, and they live next door to Alanis Morissette's parents. I didn't realize that Alanis Morissette was engaged to Ryan Reynolds for a while. I guess I'm not up on my People magazine.
I guess that would have been a long, like, early on.
Must have been, but I'm like, what? I gotta start brushing back up on some of that. So, anyways.
All right. So anyway, we'll bring you more Norm MacDonald throughout the rest of the morning. I think everybody needs it.
I've got the Croc Hunter. We will play that after the next break.
Okay, good. I think everybody needs a wee bit of humor in their day today because a lot of people working on not a lot of sleep last night after the storms that rolled through.
Well, not you.
Pretty much everywhere. I slept through most of it.
I've never, and I'm being very sincere in this year, I don't recall ever a storm like that in Ottawa, only in the sense of the intensity. Just how bloody long it appeared to go on, Hammer, right? Mm. I mean, and I always think, hey, you're going to get those storms. When I lived in D.C., it's like 5 p.m., lock it down. You're golfing. I get ready to go under the tree or the umbrella, whatever. 1 in the morning, I think, Hammer, is when it kicked off, right? And she was a rumbling.
It just went on and on and on. It seemed like I woke up every 10 minutes because of a blast of thunder. And it seemed like it was right outside my window. I don't know if it was huge or if it just decided to park itself in Barrhaven and Riverside South for
a while.
You
sure that wasn't that family of 17 that lives next door to you?
They moved out a long time ago. Okay, now it's just a family of 8.
8, okay.
All right, we've trimmed down a little bit.
Kevin tweets at us at TSN 1200, the storm was hellish in Richmond. Does JR sleep with earplugs and a blindfold? No, I don't. And I had the window open? Partially open as well. Yeah. So again, I don't know. I live in the I live on the north side of the Queensway, or as most of us say, the best side. So maybe
I can
it wasn't
picture,
quite as intense there. But
JR was probably asleep with the green facial on, with the cucumbers over the eyes, along with
a nice mud pack on the cheeks.
Exactly.
Very fresh skin.
Don't roll on the side so the hair's fresh. You do the perm before you go to bed.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. for those of you who didn't get a lot of sleep, the storm has rolled through, and as you wake up this morning, it's going to be just a so-so day, sun maybe by this afternoon, but next couple of days, Thursday and Friday look good, sunshine highs in the mid-20s.
I want those storms during the day when I can just hunker down in the garage and watch
I agree.
Watch the lightning and just listen to the pitter-patter of the rain. That's what I want.
That is nice. Being up at the lakes, being up the lake somewhere, if you're traveling, you got the window open.
And then you jump into the lake right after, she's just
And extended JR right through the weekend, supposed to be gorgeous, is it not? Right up around 25, 26.
Looks like it'll be good, for sure. Yeah. All right, we spent time last hour talking about a very iconic moment in Canadian sports history that happened on this day in 1987. That would be Gretzky to Lemieux for the game winner in the final couple of minutes of the 87 Canada Cup. Canada beat the Soviet Union in Game 3, all three games ending in 6-5. This is also the anniversary, 2004. I'm going to ask, and then I can ask the good listeners as well, while I ask you guys, what was your favorite of the three Gary Bettman lockouts? Mm-hmm. So we had the lockout of 94.
Yeah.
We had the lockout of 2004, which began on this day in 2004, or we had the lockout of 2013, or 2012, I guess, into 2013. So the first and the last, of course, resulted in pretty much half a season being lost, and of course, the 2004 lockout lasted an entire season, and a professional sports league wiped out its entire season, including its championship and playoff. So I'll start with you, Simmer. Favorite Gary Bettman lockout of the three?
You know what? 04-05. It just went over to the Leafs, moved to Rhode Island. Why are you laughing?
Just because it was just so long. I
actually thought that was terrific. I was working. I was getting paid. I was traveling around. And I don't like it from a fan's perspective, JR, but it is, and again, people can be critical. It was really important for the sport to get a salary cap, and it's unfortunate what it took. So I don't even know if I want to term it as a favorite, because none of them are a favorite. But for where I was at, that was an opportunity. I'd been a lifetime Red Sox fan. So finally they won, moved to Rhode Island. My Pats were my Pats. So it was good times. So I'll go 04-05.
Okay. 04-05 for me, too, for completely selfish reasons, is because I wasn't working here at the station. I was over at the Robert. So I didn't need to try to fill an entire day of sports reporting with just the same jargon and same story same rumors.
At least there was some sports going on beyond hockey, and a lot of it was, you know, they're getting together to talk again. I wonder if this is the day they're going to solve it, yada, yada, yada. Think back, Hammer. It's not that long ago. March the 17th or whatever it was of 2020 until, what, middle of July of 2020? You want to talk about no sports. Back when the pandemic started, that was some lean pickings.
It didn't seem, I don't know, in the moment it didn't seem that
no?
bad.
No? Were you trying to come up with topics every day for 4 hours?
No, sir.
No.
That was all you. But I remember coming in multiple times preparing a show for Bob. And AJ or somebody would be in into the wee hours of the evening because there was some it's cracking. We're gonna stick with this until it's done, and then nothing would happen. And then it'd be about 4 or 5 weeks, and then oh, here we go again. Talks are on. This lockout is gonna be finished and done. Nope.
What was the one? Was it this one that, you know, unusually, like the other two eventually got solved in January, right? And the season then began sort of late January. Was it the 04-05 one that at some point it was announced there? Like, I think it was Gretzky, and were Mario and Wayne involved?
I think Messi
broker a deal, and it sounded like it was over.
Yeah.
And then they got involved, and it was like, okay, it's going to get solved here. And for like 2 days, it was like, okay, there's going to be a season.
Yeah.
And then it all went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah,
after that.
Yeah, that was, again, going back to and wanting to try to get a salary cap. And I remember that. I was driving back from Lowell, Mass. Down to Rhode Island, JR, and there it is on the radio. And I thought, oh, my God, we're actually going to have a season. And, yeah, sure enough, a couple of days later, and even within the industry itself, pretty quickly people said, nope, hold on here. There is no chance that we're going to have a season this year, again, without a hard salary cap.
All right. So, anyway, there we go. So it was on this day. And I say that in a... in a mocking way. I wasn't really asking what your favorite lockout was. It was more pointing out that the perfect commissioner has been the commissioner for 3 separate work stoppages and continues to be the commissioner to this day. But he's made the owners a lot of money, so they're really happy about that. Okay, 8:28. Blue Jays fall to the Rays last night by a score of 2-0. So that's their second loss in the month of September. The Yankees and the Red Sox both won. Mm-hmm. So now everything is a dead heat again with, what did I say? Is it 17 games to go for the Blue Jays
that's
now?
What you said,
17.
Yeah.
Like they and the Yankees are dead even. I believe the record is 81-64. The Red Sox are even in the in terms of games behind, but they have played 2 more games. They're 82-65, I believe it is. They have 1 more win and 1 more loss. So in terms of games behind leaders, et cetera, it's the same. But they do trail by 1 in the loss column, which is probably the most important column, because if you win all your games, you're going to be in the wild card. That is a for sure. So it was a disappointing loss for the Blue Jays last night, and it's just probably it was only a matter of time right before the sticks finally dried up. They had just been on this incredible streak of scoring runs and getting hits and hitting home runs and everything else, and last night they couldn't get anything done against 5 Tampa Bay pitchers who combined on a 3-hitter. So the two teams will wrap up the series this afternoon. The rare Wednesday 3:00 first pitch between the Jays and the Rays.
Anything better than just taking off work around 1:00, heading over, just sitting in the outfield, having a couple of pints, watching a little b-ball? Be an outstanding day.
I got to say that back when I lived in Toronto.
Yeah.
So this would be, I was there in 92. I don't know if I told you guys, but I was there when the Jays won the World Series back-to-back years.
For real?
In fact, I was on the field.
No way.
When Joe Carter hit his home run. In fact, I was the first person to I won't say I spoke with the Joe Carter.
But you asked him a question.
I did. I shouted something. He pretended to ignore me because he was celebrating having won a World Series game-winning home run.
Was he on people's shoulders?
He was on
at
people's
that time?
Shoulders, yes, and I was shouting questions at him, and he wasn't responding. I was quite disappointed. He was being very uppity.
Maybe you weren't loud enough.
No,
maybe
I was shouting.
Couldn't hear you.
Hey, Joe, want to have a catch, is what I said.
You got to give the line, what's up now? He's like, I'm on my way to Disneyland.
I'm on my way to Canada's Wonderland.
Oh, that's true.
In Canada. Come on, sir.
All right. Anyway, when the Blue Jays really started to stink, which was shortly after those 2 years, and then speaking of lockouts, we had the 94 lost year. I used to go to a few games, and there weren't a lot of, all of a sudden, fans weren't going to as many. You know, they used to sell out every game.
Oh, they went from 4
weekend.
4 million, right? Yeah. Over 4 million.
So I remember, Hammer, have you ever sat in the outfield seats at the Rogers Center right behind the left field seats of the Blue Jay bullpen? I think it's still, is it still the Blue Jay bullpen in the left field?
Yeah, left field is still Blue Jay bullpen. Absolutely.
I used to be able to pick up tickets in the first row. You want to talk about a good spot to watch a baseball game?
It's the best.
Outstanding. You got the pitchers warming up right below you. right? And you got, like, it's home run alley. I remember,
yeah.
And I remember who hit it. And I don't remember if it was a Blue Jay or an opposing team. But there was a woman. She was about four or five seats down from me. And it was, it wasn't quite like Vladdy's home run a couple of nights ago.
Nope.
That was on a straight line. But it wasn't one of those high-hanging home runs. This was one that was hit pretty hard. Yeah. And she held her glove out. I still remember. I can still hear it to this day. She's got her glove out. She has got this home run ball coming, and she totally missed it.
Oh,
and it hit her right in the middle of the chest.
No.
Like right in the top. Of the, and it's just like this mess. Just
thud.
Thud. And she it put her right back in her seat.
Yeah.
And then, of course, somebody else, as you know, listen, we're human beings. Somebody else scrambles, grabs the ball. They're gone.
Yeah.
And then the attendance. I still remember that sound to this day. It was an unfortunate miss.
Is the host, is it Jeremy Campbell or what's his?
Jamie.
When he was hosting with Zahn a few years ago, Mira and I were at a game. He invited us to watch from the left field, which is pretty cool. And as far
yeah, that's where their little perch
is. Oh, it was a great little spot to sit. That was a game I left when they were down 7-1, came back to win 8-7. And also back in the day, JR, perfect baseball for me was Memorial Stadium, which was the biggest dump on the planet, where the Orioles played North Baltimore. And you'd go there, and it was a day game, and the outfield, by the way, the sun would shine, and with it setting to the west, basically you had sun in the bleachers. You couldn't see the field, couldn't see what was going on, which really wasn't a bad thing. All you did was just sit there and drink your cold pints on a hot day and enjoy some baseball, and it was pretty funny. All of a sudden, you get the tap from the, hey, the game's over. You got to head out.
You're passed out.
Well, no, not passed out, but we were just
sunburned.
We were just having such a hoot, you know, just sitting there and, you know, hey, nothing better than, that's why baseball can be so beautiful, even if you don't love the sport.
Now, whenever we go to a game, we always try to get those 100-level or 200-level outfield seats. It's the best place. And one year in 93, for whatever reason, we had the tickets there, and it's a White Sox game. Yeah. Kelly Gruber hits a grand slam. It was really close to us. My brother and I both ran after the ball. Bad bounce, went back, kind of hit right in the step, right in the, and it bounced back forward. Didn't get it. And remember when championship teams, they would come out with their little VHS, their season in like 2 hours?
Yeah. In 2 hours, okay.
Yeah. Well, it'd
That's
be maybe 90 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was long because the playoffs would be about an hour of that.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, that game ended up on the Blue Jays' 1993 VHS tape.
Really?
Nice.
And my brother had this Varnay, like fluorescent green patchy t-shirt. And they showed Kelly Gruber's grand slam in that game. And you could see two young bucks charging after that. But you couldn't see me. But you could pick up my brother, who had the bright colored shirt, going out hustling to get after that ball, and then just bouncing away from
us. When you think about your life in retrospective, as you're laying your head down on the pillow, and it's your dying moments, and you know that, like, is that going to be one of those moments?
When I'm having one of my final thoughts, you know, before I go for the old
a
big
life well
nap,
lived,
I'm thinking of that '93 highlight video on VHS that my brother and I would pause.
How old are you? How old are you at that time, Hammer?
93. I'm 13. 13.
Okay.
13, 14 years old. No, 14.
Okay.
14 years old.
So they
my
probably
would be 16.
Probably mistaken you guys for much younger.
Well, just think about a couple of bros that are watching this VHS tape for the first time. Like, holy crap.
Yeah.
That's us.
Mm.
Well, that's him.
Yeah.
It was hard to pick out me. And then anytime we had a buddy, we got to bust out the VHS.
You still
tape
got it?
Here.
Like, you got to get that put over to so it's archived forever.
We do not
digitize
have it
that. What?
No,
based on the height, it was like a scene from Little Rascals. They're like, look at those two little fellas.
Look at those young whippersnappers going after that ball.
Yeah. I once had a very important moment captured on video as well that was lost when someone taped over it. It was my wedding.
Wasn't it you that taped over
it? No. My sister. My sister said, I'll take care of taping your wedding. Or I think it was the dinner, actually. I don't think we taped the wedding. Because we had a photographer. So this is in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
And I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
And my sister lives out in Alberta.
Yeah.
So she'd come to Ontario for the wedding and
went,
for some reason, took it back with her.
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I aren't big on, like, pictures. Like, our wedding pictures, probably today, I look back upon them and go, a little too stagey, not really us. But, boy, I'd like to relive the dinner because the dinner was really good. There were some good speeches, et cetera, et cetera. So I remember at one point, phoning my, because you phone then, you didn't email, and that night phoning my sister and going, hey, you mind sending back that VHS of the wedding dinner? And so she scrambles to go and, a couple of days later, she phones back and said, I found the tape, but I taped over it. She wasn't quite sure because kids used to take a VHS and just put it in your VCR when you wanted to tape something important, like whatever was happening.
But you can rip the tab off to prevent any copyright.
But you don't think of those things. In the pressure of the moment when you needed a tape because you're scrambling to make sure you tape something in your VCR because it was happening at that very moment, there was no auto rewind or you can play a show like you can now on Bell 5. An hour later, it was like in that the scrap. So anyway, no.
So what was it like? An opening to a summer or winter Olympics? A closing ceremony?
Don't even think it was that good. You know, it would have been like maybe Survivor. I don't know.
Oprah Winfrey's first debut.
Not even that. Jesse Raphael.
Not even that important.
And Phil Donahue back to back.
I feel like a Jerry Springer.
Exactly.
Some best of Jerry.
Chair throwing Jerry Springer episode in the mid 90s.
I'm thinking Murder, She Wrote, maybe a special 2-hour primetime Friday night movie.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And here's the thing. Angela Lansbury always got her man.
Did she ever.
All right, 8:37. And we kind of drifted away there, as we typically do, which kind of goes to show you not a whole heck of a lot going on today. 8:37, we'll take a break. When we come back, a bunch more stuff to get to, including an update on the hockey situation. Sens begin rookie camp today. We're going to hear from Mad Sogard. That's a guy that Simmers got high hopes for as far as Sens' future tendies go. Mad Sogard guested with the boys and in the box yesterday. We're going to hear from the great Dane, the big giant Danish netminder, when we return. We caught up on What's Up, Chuck, the latest on Brady Tkachuk and his ongoing contract situation as he remained unsigned by the Sens as of this morning. That and a whole bunch more as we continue along here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
Talk about the crocodile hunter.
Did you?
Because I think
you're gonna make him sad.
Because I think, you know, it was tragic at the time. But I think I don't know, people calling me, man, they're shocked. Oh, hey, you wouldn't believe it, who got killed? The crocodile hunter.
please don't make me laugh at this.
He was 44 years old. I'm like, that's a ripe old age for a crocodile.
That's not.
And you know who had to be pissed about it were the crocodiles, because he got killed by some fish. And so you know the crocodiles were like, hey man, that crocodile hunter got killed. Who did it, Frank? you don't even want to know, man.
please don't do this anymore.
Bill, man, you had a chance once. The guy go, man, I had a chance. I had that mother. He was Tommy with a stick. I could eat him and his kid.
I'm changing my mind. That may be my favorite.
Yeah, it is pretty good, eh? And he ended up getting stabbed by a stingray, right, Jer?
Something like that.
Yeah. You got it.
And again, the usual, that bit was from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, was about 10 days after Steve Irwin was killed.
Just 10?
So the normal formula that I think I've spoken of many times is that comedy equals tragedy plus time.
Okay.
Normally, 10 days would not be considered a whole lot of time to be going after somebody who just died.
What is a journalism handbook, JR? are you supposed to wait a year?
I think you want a month.
That might even be a little bit, depending on who we're talking about and kind of the circumstances of everything. And
But that a month was after the funeral or something like that.
That was Norm MacDonald. Man, he just didn't care. He said it, and he made a lot of people laugh.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was one of his classic moments that a lot of people have texted in this morning wanting to hear. By the way, speaking of texts, someone has just texted and said, I think you guys should reference every text that you get that's unsigned as being from Brady Tkachuk. Just say Brady. This one's from Brady until he gets signed.
Oh, yeah?
So,
okay.
I'm not sure how that's going to fly. on our discussion of best international hockey moment, male, in history, because today's the anniversary of the 87 Game 3.
Yeah.
Mario scoring in the final 2 minutes to win 6-5. 72-87, 02 Olympics, 2010, golden goal.
Yeah.
Remy writes, that was the 72 for me. That was the, I was nine. That was the ultimate series in hockey history for me. That comes from Remy.
Yeah,
so,
no, I
again,
can
speaks
totally
to you if you're old enough to remember that and go through it, even if you were just nine. Now, at nine, I don't want to speak for Remy here. At nine, I don't know if you're understanding the political ramifications of what was at play. You know, that was more than hockey. It was great hockey, don't get me wrong, and an epic comeback. But it was as much about what was going on in the world at large at the time, and it was kind of, this was sort of the microcosm of us against them.
Well, and it was our game, JR, also, when you really think about what was happening in the world, in the sense of it was a summit series between two teams. At least when you got to a Canada Cup or a World Cup, you had best on best. Then, to me, if you ask a player, and hey, you love to win a Canada Cup, but at the end of the day, nothing is like winning an Olympic gold medal. So, yeah, it's an interesting discussion of where you would kind of rank that, but certainly on a global level, we would all agree that winning an Olympic gold medal is a whole lot better than a Canada Cup or a summer series.
Let's see here from Unsigned. I can usually use thunderstorms as white noise, but that doesn't work for two-year-olds. So 3 hours of sleep, so coffee's in the diet all day long. That comes from Unsigned.
Yeah, Unsigned feeling it a bit as well. And there are some that you sleep through and some you enjoy. But as I said, it was a little combo of the thunder, but the lightning and trying to adjust the blinds, JR, because she kept lighting up. And like I said, it was a full hour. It wasn't just one of these ones that rolled through. She was a beauty storm.
Brad has said we should, in honor of Norm MacDonald today, all unsigned texts should be from Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, that's true.
So that may be a good
one. That's it.
Outstanding. Good morning, boys. I know you guys will have Saturday's prospects game on the radio machine, but do you know if the game will be televised? Have a great day. That comes from Eli. Well, we discussed this earlier this morning, Eli, that I know that the Sens have asked us for access to our feed. Dean and Gord will be doing the game, so I am assuming they are doing that because it is being broadcast via video somewhere. What that is, I'm not quite sure, whether it's through their website or whatever. We will attempt to ascertain that. But I can tell you for sure, we'll have the game on the radio at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, and what are they playing Saturday, Monday, JR?
Saturday, Monday,
Monday
is in Brossard.
Brossard. So, and not that it's a big showcase, but as you said, there's only X amount of players there. They'll all play. But, hey, if you're excited about the prospects and kind of a list there, as I am, going to the match on ice hockey match on Saturday, yeah, it's a pretty good list there of players that at some point will play for the Ottawa Senators.
One of the goalies, and there are four, three of whom are Sens draftees that are at the rookie camp that starts today, and presumably the three will all see action at some point in the two prospects game. One of them would be the Great Dane, 6 foot, and we'll see what he is on skates. I think he must be about 6'9" these days. Mads Søgaard, second round pick from a couple of years ago, from Denmark, of course, who came over at the end of his Danish hockey season last year, went into Belleville, went 7-0 in his games in for the B-Sens at the end of last year. So a lot of people with high hopes. This will be his first full season coming over here to play in North America. And he was on yesterday on In the Box talking about goals for the coming hockey season.
You know, with the way that I ended last year, I was pretty happy with how I was playing. And obviously winning hockey, that's what matters. So, you know, I think for me, it's just about keep on going on that path. I mean, I think if I keep doing that, you know, at some point the management can't say can't not take a chance on me and maybe get me some playing time in the NHL.
There you go. There's a very confident-sounding young man. You can hear the interview, by the way, in its entirety on our website at tsn1200.ca.
Yeah, and hope he's in the twine tent Saturday, JR. Some comparisons out of camp from sources deep inside. Talk about him being a Pekka Rinne. I always compare back to my buddy Olli Kolzig, but athletically to come in and do that at 20 is certainly something very special. And how this is going to play out both in short and long term, I think the curiosity right off the hop is a 20-year-old. Do they keep him in Gus the Bus in Belleville, send Mandalizzi down, or like a lot of goaltenders, does he go to the East Coast Hockey League? But certainly he is fast-tracking for a guy of his size and of his age, and I truly believe he's the best of the bunch from the sample size I've seen.
We'll see. I just wonder with the, and again, they're going to start the season with Matt Murray and Forsberg. I always want to call him Hogberg. Forsberg. Yeah, yeah. They're going to start, and then it will be in all like, well, we don't know for sure. It would make sense. Gustafson will be one of the two goalies in Belleville.
Yeah, for sure.
I wonder, given, and again, the American Hockey League schedule, they have finally come to their senses, and they're getting rid of, for the most part, these 3-and-3s, which were
awful.
Ridiculous.
Awful.
So they have gone with a schedule which is either just Friday, Saturday, or in some weeks is Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, or Wednesday, Friday, Sunday sort of thing. So there's no more 3-and-3s. That being said, if you're getting three games in a week and you want to develop both your goal, I wonder if it will reach a point, I guess is my point, where you might have, let's say, Gustafson, you know, they want to see more of him, where Sogard would get some games, but then they'd send him down to Atlanta. Is there an East Coast affiliate? You send him down there for 2 weeks or whatever,
and
he plays every game that they've got, and then he comes back up, Mandalize swaps out, he does the same thing. So even though you only have, you know, you've got two teams and two goalies that can play, if you kind of work it the right way, you can get a decent amount of action for all three of them.
Yeah, and at the same time, monitoring what will be very important here, how Murray ends up playing, what kind of a start you get JR, but for sure doing that. And also, I would say in the case of Mandalize, I don't feel like this is a guy that's just been signed. I mean, he kind of gets left in the dust, but for what he accomplished in junior and the small sample size last year, this guy looks like he's got a pretty bright future as well. I don't know as much about him, but yeah, you're trying to keep all of these guys going and quickly turn the page for Mr. Decord. Excited to see how he does this year, but like I said, I'm wondering this year how much we see a Gustafson and how quickly they look at a guy like Sogard, because hey, why wouldn't you be high on a guy like this? And as we know, man, it is all about size these days, and when you're 6'7", there's lots to like.
Yeah, he is the biggest of all of them. Now I've seen him this year, but he is a bit of a slim Jim. Like, he's 6'7", but he's not a wide load, as it were. Now, but that is, he's a very young man, and certainly, probably, I'm guessing, has spent a lot of time working out in the summer, so put on a little bit of weight as well. But it's not like he's a large guy.
No.
But what is it about him in particular in the very small sample size we saw last year which impressed you so much?
You know what? Just the overall athleticism, JR, and how hard he competed and really understanding. And it's changed. But my buddy Ole Kolzig at that age, and a lot of guys, you very seldomly see somebody that athletically is that put together at that age, along with the compete, JR. I was just kind of surprised. And you go back to his numbers in Medicine Hat, certainly outstanding. So I just, and again, this is in the back of my head, and I don't know the players. I love the skill set of Mr. Gustafson, but there's just a little something that overall fabric of the person without knowing him just makes me a bit nervous. So when I kind of talk about, hey, who do I want to grab a hold of the net? And again, you're arriving really quickly here where this, when Pierre Dorion talks about transferring through as a rebuild and getting to the other side, JR, well, now you need goaltending, right? There's no longer, well, we're going to take a bit of time here. And hey, this goaltending, whoever it is, Matt Murray, Sogard, Gustafson, going outside, it has to marry up with the program pretty quickly. Do you know what I mean? Like this year is a little bit, but by next year, you got to have your Craig Anderson. Like you can't then, because as we know in a 32-team National Hockey League, how competitive it is, you either have it or you don't, right? I mean, look at Boston right now. What they're sitting on, I don't know Ullmark as well, but when you look at that on basically Rask will come back for next to nothing, what Tampa Bay is able to put in goal, Toronto, no, it's a two-headed monster, a little different, but to Carey Price to the two in Florida, hey, you know, line up the division, but then start to line up where your goaltending kind of fits you, and you're going to need it pretty quickly.
Well, Ottawa would be ahead of Buffalo in terms of goaltending right now. Yeah. But that may be, I mean, Detroit traded for and signed Nedeljkovic, who had a good year in Carolina. Yeah. Again, very young guy. We'll see whether he's a product of the system and whether he can hold up against a Detroit team that's not nearly as good as Carolina. But, if you line up Ottawa's goal as it sits right now uneven year from Matt Murray last year, I think it's pretty fair to say that right now Ottawa's goaltending is certainly in the bottom half of the division.
Absolutely. Yeah, and again, Nedeljkovic, I'm very high on. If you asked me to play one game tonight, I'd probably take him ahead of Murray. But hey, Murray, let's see how he rebounds and let's see what we see in training camp.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on, and again, all of the discussions we've had about the Sens all offseason and about which young guy is going to break through and are they going to trade for a center or defenseman and Delzato and Brännström and yada, all this other stuff. Yeah. We're talking about the Ottawa Senators playing hockey games. It all begins and ends with Matt Murray. Yeah. It really does. If Matt Murray somehow finds a way to rebound and becomes a very good goaltender, which he has been at times, particularly in the playoffs. He's shown he can compete under pressure. But it's been a while since he's done it. If he can do it, if he can find a way, all of a sudden, that just changes things entirely about the outlook for the and on the flip side, if he starts this year like he starts last year, and they have harped on the fact that this year they want to have a great start to the year. All hockey teams say the same thing. All coaches say the same thing. It makes sense. Yeah. Of course, you don't want to start the season 2-12-1 like they did last year.
No, for sure.
But if he's not very good to start this year, if he takes time to find his way again for whatever reason, you could be buried early here in Ottawa.
And that's why I also think he'll be on the Mike Keenan leash. Like, I don't think this is the old, hey, let's go back to Matt and let's work with him for 10 games. Hey, man, come out and play well. Opening night, you don't play well. Forsberg goes in, see where it goes from there. And I don't think, based on the way Gustafson finished, JR, that they'd hesitate for a minute to all of a sudden do that. This cannot be, with Matt Murray and the money and where he's at in his career, cannot be any work in progress whatsoever. It's a regular training camp. You've got exhibition. Opening night, I need you right back there competing, going head-to-head with the Carey Prices of the world. Or, as a young hockey team, it just sucked the energy out of. And again, the moving parts of last year, not a great defensive system, certainly some questionable decisions in lineup and acquisitions, but at the same time, just never gave the program a chance, right? He let in that stinker between the wickets from the blue line, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, nobody can survive that in today's National Hockey League.
Yeah. So that will be the number one question. Yeah. I think when they drop the puck for exhibition games, and they've got, I think it's six of them, I want to say either six or seven, and it's not that far away. They begin the season Sunday, September 20th, so like a week from Sunday is their first exhibition game. And they start the season, this is kind of interesting, with three games and four nights. They play the Leafs on a Thursday here. That's the home opener. Then they play at the Leafs on the Saturday, and then they right back at it at home to Dallas on the Sunday.
Ooh.
So probably you're not thinking early in the year he's going back to back. So he's getting the opener. I don't think it'd be I would pretty much be 99.99% he's getting the opener no matter how he plays in the preseason. And I'm guessing he goes game one against Toronto down there, and then probably that Dallas game they bounce back with Forsberg.
Yeah, I agree, and I could see opening.
You can mark it down in pencil.
Exactly. Opening faceoff, the referees, linesman. I see it a bit of a secondary. I could see the linesman sliding over to Chabot saying, Shabby, what about Murray? But when they go to drop the puck, the first thing the referee is going to say over, and I'll say opening faceoff, Norris, say, hey, what's up, Chuck? And that's what'll be asked. That'll be on the ice. So that'll be on the front burner. Was that good radio or not? And Darren Pang's going to join us in 10 minutes, by the way.
What is the reference to our fair? What is the what's up, Chuck thing? Why did that suddenly make its way onto the ice now for opening night?
Well, because he's not in the lineup, JR.
Oh, okay.
Come on, work with me here. You said it's the number one story, Matt Murray. Well, if Chucky's not in town, that's the number one story.
Fair point. Fair point. I had just assumed Brady Tkachuk will have signed.
That's true.
Very fair point.
No, and they're having.
If he's not here,
they're having positive talks, and I'm sure this will come to a head soon.
All right, 9 o'clock. We'll take a break. You mentioned Darren Pang's coming on. Good. We've had that iron in the fire.
Yeah.
So look forward to talking to a good Ottawa guy. And if you want to talk about plugged into the St. Louis hockey scene, nobody's more plugged in than the Panger. I'm sure he's seen the Tkachuks around town. He loves his man. Every I follow Darren on social media. He loves to play golf, man. I think he loves golf more than hockey.
I think he's darn good at it. He got a hole in one in the Blues tournament the other day.
What?
Too. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah,
first
of
his life.
Well, that's what I asked Mikey downstairs, his brother. He wasn't sure, so we'll ask Darren when he comes on.
All right, and that's probably be the entire segment. We'll talk about Darren's golf game. We'll talk about what's going on down in St. Louis, which is it's he and Logan Brown. Well, Logan Brown has spent a bunch of the time down in Arizona, right? So don't know how much time he spent in St. Louis, but that's home.
Yeah, he was there for a bit, but he's been down with Keller and Chychrun, who are all kind of, Chychrun buddy here, and Keller from St. Louis.
And Austin Matthews, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And McDavid was down in Arizona, or has spent time down in. So anyway, we'll get caught up on all of that with a special lens on the Brady Tkachuk situation. Darren Pang will join us live from St. Louis coming up in just a couple of minutes right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.